Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN, Nick McNamara. Thanks again to Chris Spooner, Bob Koppel from Ascension Via Christi, and we're changing gears here. In studio with us, K-State Vice President for Research, David Rozovsky. Thanks for being here, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And it's nice to meet you. I don't think I've seen you, and I think I've heard you speak and recorded you talk, but I don't think I've ever had a chance to actually speak with you, so nice to meet you.
It's great to sit across from you today.
Okay, I appreciate that. I like hearing that. Not everyone's always as enthused about it. So before we're going to talk about the Economic Prosperity Plan, which was launched about a year ago, and sort of look back on how that's progressed and sort of the mission and goal of that, but before we get into that, I do want to ask you just – given your purview over research, just how you've seen research change here at K-State over the last year or two. We were talking off air. I do sort of personal research with human subjects. So that was very different amid COVID-19 and all of the precautions we had to take to make sure that was done safely. I'm curious how you've seen research change over the last year or two amid that situation as well.
Sure. Well, in a couple of ways. I mean, during the peak of COVID, a lot of the research activity slowed or even had to shut down because of the needs to be in laboratories or the needs to have groups working together. So across the nation, and certainly we saw that here at K-State, we saw a tremendous slowing of research activity in labs, in some cases essentially having to shutter. So it was a slow reopen over the last, about a year and a half since I joined K-State. But I would say as of about 6 to 8 months ago, all of our labs have been at full capacity. And so we saw a slight downtick not only in the productivity of the labs because we had to close them, but also in the grant writing activity by faculty. So there was a small dip in the extramural research funding that came into the university. But this past year, not only had we fully recovered, but we've gone beyond previous high levels.
Given K-State's big focus and huge impetus on research, what does it do to the university when you have to shutter labs like that? What sort of impact is there when you're not getting that money coming in?
Well, it slows the work. So these research grants and contracts are just that. They're contracts to complete work and to report on the findings from that work. So it does slow things down. So several investigators wrote what we call no-cost extensions to agencies, which are very common, and this was happening, of course, all over the country, which says, well, if it's a three-year grant, maybe we're going to need a COVID year, kind of like the athletes are getting, and we're going to extend that work just a little bit longer. But, you know, there also are cases where there are lab materials, there are lab chemicals, there are animals. There are things that cost money to continue to house or to replace. So there was a cost, there's no question, and it was paid by all research universities across the country. The good news is, like most, we are at full capacity, full bore, and both our grant writing activity and our extramural funding are at high levels.
All right. And we're here to talk about the Economic Prosperity Plan as well. And that was launched, as I mentioned, about a year ago, and it's a pretty ambitious plan. Can you talk a little bit about sort of what led to creating this plan and putting it out in paper and publicizing it the way it's been?
Sure. So it's actually it was a charge from the Kansas Board of Regents to the university to articulate a bold and ambitious economic development plan for the state. And the same charge was given to KU and to Wichita State University. For Kansas State University, as the land-grant public research university for the state, it was a fairly easy exercise for us because it's what we do. We've long considered ourselves to be economic engines for the state of Kansas. So it was a chance to reflect on how we can both amplify our research activity with the economic greater good in focus, but also a chance for us to amplify and celebrate our mission as a land-grant university here in Kansas. And in a way, it was just supercharging our commitment as a land-grant to serving Kansas and to serving Kansans. And so in response, prior to my arrival, the plan had started to be written. In response, we looked inward and said, what are the things that we do really well at K-State in the research domain? What are the priorities for the state in terms of the most pressing issues, the most pressing needs? And then where is it possible for K-State, through its research, through its expertise, through its university-industry partnerships, to enable the state of Kansas to become globally competitive for business? So those are the questions we asked ourselves. And we landed on three domain areas that are going to make total sense to everybody listening. They're absolutely what K-State excels at. And they're not at the exclusion of the other things that we do well. But these are the big ones, right? Food and agricultural systems innovation. Digital agriculture and advanced analytics, which is about the future of agriculture and the application of all these incredible advanced technologies to redefining the field. Biodefense and biosecurity, which of course builds on the work at the College of Veterinary Medicine, the great work at the Biosecurity Research Institute at K-State, and now having attracted NBAF into Manhattan. So unquestionably, we are the epicenter of biodefense and biosecurity research here, and we want to capitalize and leverage that to bring companies into the region. So those were the three big domain areas. And then there was a fourth area to the plan that we call K-State 105, which is really our commitment to all 105 counties in Kansas. So if we are going to help to drive economic prosperity statewide, to create conditions to lift up communities, to lift up families, to grow businesses and to attract businesses to Kansas, we want everyone in Kansas to feel part of that. And so that's sort of our amped up extension role as a great land-grant university, where we take our capabilities to all of the communities. We listen carefully to what all the community needs are around economic prosperity. We come back to the university and we leverage our resources to help them at the local level.
And you mentioned you've been here about a year and a half. Is that correct?
That's right.
And so you came in sort of at the tail end when NBAF was already being developed. How nice is it to have a facility like that next to your university as you're embarking on a plan like this?
It's incredible. So if you look at great research universities across the country, the very best research universities in terms of their performance and their output, but also in terms of the opportunities they provide to their students and their ability to recruit top faculty from around the country and around the world. If you look at those very top universities in research, they are connected to or near to a national lab or federal lab like NBAF. So it positions K-State to really jump ahead both in research and discovery, but also in attracting university industry partnerships, building those partnerships here in Manhattan. So I was really excited. It's one of the great attractors for me, but I'm sure for many others who are coming to K-State. The presence of NBAF, the opportunities it already has created. In my role as Vice President for Research, I also serve as liaison to NBAF and meet regularly with Dr. Alfonso Clavio, the director of NBAF, to identify how best to build this nascent relationship between NBAF and K-State. And it's an incredible relationship, and it has great promise for the years ahead for our faculty and for our students.
And I think it might be a good opportunity to take our last break, come back, and then just round out this conversation when we return. So let's do that. And we come back, we'll continue our conversation with David Rozovsky here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Continuing our conversation here with K-State Vice President for Research, David Rozovsky. We're talking about the economic prosperity plan at K-State. And I'm reading here a quote from you about the plan and its intention to create 3,000 new jobs and $3 billion in new investments in the state of Kansas in the next 10 years. And I'm curious, how viable do you think that is? How possible is this?
Well, those goals were not arbitrary. They were carefully determined, carefully titrated. We believe they're very much achievable. And we set them just above what we were confident that we could achieve to help drive us to continue to push ever higher.
And you mentioned, we were talking a little bit off air about the development of this plan, and there were some changes to it when you came on board. Can you talk a little bit about how this all came about what sort of changes you had to go about making when you walked into the situation? You mentioned it was being written as you came on board.
Right. It started being written in 2019, 2020. When I came on board, the content was all there. It was, if I were to pick the three domain areas, those would have been the areas. Anybody who knows K-State, those would have been the areas. And who knows Kansas? What I did was take a very technical, formal document that was written to the Board of Regents that was thick and cumbersome and quite complete. And we worked for several months to rewrite sections of it to be much more understandable, much more accessible, and much more exciting and compelling. We didn't want to write for ourselves. We didn't want to write for economic development authorities. We didn't want to write for the Department of Commerce or the Board of Regents. We wanted to write for Kansas. And so the resulting plan is much more public-facing, much more accessible. Essentially, it's a more compelling, nuggetized version of the deeper plan.
And I know you're saying you want to write it for sort of the broad audience here, though maybe in some ways it is a bit of the purview of these economic development folks, the academic folks, to focus on it in a way. What's the importance of having it be digestible in that way?
Well, first of all, in my research domain and responsibilities as a research vice president, but also as a researcher of my career in engineering research, I've always stress the importance of being able to communicate what it is your research is about to the broader audience. I think that's critically important to engender support for the university and its research mission, to engender trust in how we spend our time and our resource, and engender excitement, build excitement for what the university is doing, and pride in its work. So I've long believed in the importance of effective communication of that research. And the Economic Prosperity Plan is really intended to connect the research mission of the university to the broader needs and the broader opportunity spaces for economic growth in the state. And the more we can have Kansans understand what it is we do as a great land-grant research university, the more that they understand how we exist to lift their communities, their families, their businesses, and Kansas' quality of life, the more support we can engender. And that support between the state and its land-grant and public research universities is really, really important.
You know, as you talk about that, it gets me thinking about, you know, if you speak to people in commerce or the Chamber of Commerce or things like that, they'll talk about entrepreneurial ecosystems. And perhaps there's that overlooked portion of and when you cultivate an entrepreneurial ecosystem, it's not just the people in the economic development sphere that are important. You need the ecosystem to be sort of holistic and including those people that maybe aren't necessarily always involved with the businesses or the grant writing opportunities,
right,
or the development of,
right, right,
whatever you're going for.
And we, you know, one of the things we're trying to do with this K-State 105 piece of the Economic Prosperity Plan is enable those who would be entrepreneurs across the state to dig in with us and create, you know, meaningful opportunity or meaningful product or meaningful jobs. And we hope to identify those folks around the state, partner them with resources across the state and at the university, help them to write the grants, build a prototype, start the company, manage the books, whatever the case may be. And I think that's just, again, a way to demonstrate our land-grant commitment to all 105 counties here in the state.
And you mentioned this is launched about a year ago now. I think you said December 1st, 2021?
Yes, it was the first week of December that we went into the public phase, if you will. We had been onboarding for the prior 6 months or so. And we used the opportunity of the naming of our new president, Richard Linton, as the time, literally the day following, as the time to make the public launch for the Economic Prosperity Plan. And we had, you know, local media, we had state representatives, we had people from the governor's office and others join us for the announcement. And we laid out the ambitious and bold plan. We laid out the milestones. And we shared the excitement that we had across the university for rolling up our sleeves and getting to work.
Talking here with David Rozovsky, Vice President for Research at K-State. And as we mentioned, we're a year in to this plan. How's it gone? What have you seen? What are some of the success stories you've seen over the last year?
Well, it's gone well, but first we have to articulate what it means to go well. So, you know, to achieve 3,000 new jobs and to bring $3 billion of new investment into the state of Kansas, first of all, requires that we focus and redouble our efforts in those target areas that I mentioned as a research university so that we make investments to grow the activity, the output in those transdisciplinary domains. Second, it requires that we build really effective and really forward-leaning partnerships with entities around the state, which we've done, whether it's Manhattan Chamber of Commerce or whether it's the Kansas Department of Commerce or whether it's economic development agencies or whether it's people in the private sector, we had to build these relationships because going after companies to locate here in Kansas, it's a full press, right? It requires a full press effort. So we've had some early successes. We have several other companies in various pipeline stages that we have great optimism for. We can point to two examples. One is called Hydrograph, which was a company that started up, that spun out of technology developed in the Department of Physics at K-State, and it's in the graphene and energy sector. And that company is locating here in Manhattan and is rapidly growing. And the other that received considerable press statewide, of course, was the decision of, by Scorpion Biologic Services to locate their largest manufacturing plant here in Kansas. And that was a competition against more than a dozen other states, many that you've heard of, many in our region, and many larger and in some cases having deeper pockets. But what happened was, through this intentional and quite robust partnership between the state and the city and the chamber and the university and K-State Innovation Partners and numerous others around the state and the region, we were able to present the strongest case for their location here in Kansas. And it was as much about the science and the capabilities that we have at the BRI and MBAF and so forth as it was about the culture of Kansas and the work ethic of people. And we heard from time and time again from companies that we've been successful recruiting and that we're in the pipeline in discussion with, that there's just something special about Kansas and about the K-State community. So we're trying to leverage that in the coming years.
And I think we're about a minute out from being done. So in about half a minute, can you tell me what's next in this plan?
Yeah, we're going to just continue to work to recruit companies. We're going to continue to invest in research at the university. We're going to continue to flesh out the K-State 105 program by traveling the state and by listening to what people need, what people want, what people hope from their land-grant university. And we're going to break through those goals of 3,000 new jobs and $3 billion of new investment into Kansas.
Well, I wish you the best luck on that, and I appreciate the time and opportunity to meet you.
It's my pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
Of course. And that does it for us here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. If you missed any of this, you just want to check it all out again. We archive this at newsradiokman.com, on Spotify, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. Hey, thanks for listening.